good afternoon or good evening, whatever it is in the UK, to our friends there. And please say hello to everyone for us. We look forward to seeing you all someday. We miss not having you here. You know, oftentimes during the feast, I have got up and I've made announcements and I've had a list or two of different humorous sayings. I know I shared some of those last year. And somebody asked me if I've got any more. I've got a few. Be patient. Here's one here. In front of a funeral home, drive carefully, we will wait. Outside of a muffler shop, no appointment necessary, we'll hear you coming. Here's one for the do-it-yourselfers. I used to be a do-it-yourselfer, but it wound up like this. Sign on plumber's truck. We repair what your husband fixed. Isn't that true? Here's one I really like. On another plumber's truck, don't sleep with a drip. Anyway, okay, I've got better than that. I've got one specifically for Mr. Henderson in the UK, but I'm going to save that for the last day. So he has to stay with us right through to hear it. We have fun. A little humor, brother, and I enjoy that. We tease each other. We have fun. And it makes life a lot easier that way. I know all of you agree. Brethren, we know and we understand that the Feast of Tabernacles pictures the millennial rule of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God on the earth. So let's ask this question. Notice how I like to ask questions? Not as profoundly as Mr. Armstrong, obviously. Very small by comparison. Here's the question. What will the condition will the earth be in when we begin ruling with Jesus Christ? You ever thought about that? I wonder about our comprehension of the destruction that we're going to see. The deaths of so many, so much turmoil, earthquakes, and all these things are going to be going on and many more. And we need to take a look at it from a very realistic perspective, and that's what I want to do here this morning. Give you a picture. It's not a pretty picture in many respects, but it's what's beyond the devastation we're going to see and what we're going to be doing and how we're going to be helping to restore this world, this earth. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 13. Let's begin to answer the question, what will earth be like as the millennial time begins? Our priority, of course, is going to be to restore the earth, our main objective. We will also be involved in helping people, because there's going to be a lot of help required. People are going to be suffering, hurt, disillusioned, hurt, very hurt, physically and spiritually, from what they've been through. They won't understand what's happened to them. We'll be there to comfort them and to encourage them. And the needs are going to be unbelievably great. Unbelievably great. They're going to require housing. That's got to be taken care of. We've got to take care of food. We've got to feed them. We've got to clothe them. The basic things, that's how we're going to begin. And also, at some point, they're going to need to work and to produce and to get back to a normal life. That's what we're going to be aiming for, to bring people along slowly. Teach them, train them, encourage them, help them, bless them, heal them. All those things we're going to be able to do. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. He says, howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And verse 8, they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. They shall be amazed, they shall be amazed one another, one to another, one at another, I guess it says. Their faces shall be as flames. As I mentioned last night, I'm going to skip a few times on some of the verse because of my sight. Please forgive me for that. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and shall destroy the sinners out of it. Not a pretty picture, is it? It has to come. It has to happen. For the stars of heaven and the constellations shall give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Verse 15. Why is all this going to happen? Verse 15 gives us the answer. And I will punish the world for their evil, the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, excuse me, and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. There's an awful lot of pride out there, isn't there, in our society? Pride and arrogance. I'll be glad to see it gone. God cannot work with pride and arrogance. He seeks humility. He wants to see humility from us, and we know that. That's how it works. Before God, before Christ, and before each other. As I've told people for years, I'm not any better than you are. I'm no greater than you are. I have a different responsibility. That's the difference. And a different accountability. Never forget that. I have to take more care with what I do, more care with what I say, more care with my actions, so I don't hurt, upset, or offend anybody. If that ever happens to you because of me, I've got lots of cash saved up. We can come to some arrangements. We know and understand God's judgment was against Babylon the Great, don't we? But it's going to affect the entire world. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. And you know, it says, therefore all hands will be limp. Strength is gone. All hands will be limp. Every man's heart will fail. All hands. Every man's heart. So no one is going to escape. Everyone's going to be affected. We can't hide away up in a mountain pass somewhere. No one's going to find me up here. Doesn't matter where you are. Now, you talk about battle fatigue and battle shock. And we're going to see some incredible situations with people. Mental, you talk about mental problems, torn apart by disaster. There's going to be people with missing limbs. The odd person with a missing hand, wandering around, trying to get their lives straight and don't know what's happened. We're going to be there to bless them and to help them and to heal them. You want to do that? I sure do. It's going to be an incredible sight. They shall be afraid, and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails with child. They're going to be amazed. What happened? The day of the Lord comes with cruelty and with wrath and with fierce anger to lay low lay the land desolate. And destroy all the sinners out of it. And the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not show its light. Then I will punish the world, says God. And it has to be done. We think about the millennium, and we talk about the world tomorrow and Jesus Christ's return, as we should. And I say to people, son of me, do you realize what's going to happen before that happens? During the tribulation? There's a lot of things that are going to take place, and we're going to be in a place of safety, hopefully. We'll all be there. God decides that, by the way. A lot's going to have to happen. And we're going to be there at the end of it all to help. That's why, as I said last night, God needs us. He needs you. So you can take your place. So you can be that one that puts your arm around some poor person who's lost an arm. It's all right. We'll restore it. You're going to have that kind of power. God had to do what he was going to have to do because of the multitude of the sin and the total rejection of God. That certainly speaks to our countries, doesn't it? To the descendants of ancient Israel. Well, we're religious. We go to church every Sunday. We keep Christmas and Easter. We're good. No understanding, obviously. They don't have the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 24. And verse 1 to 5. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it wasted and turns it upside down and scatters abroad the inhabitants. No one's going to be able to hide. It's going to happen. The next few verses here in Isaiah, verse 2 to verse 5, I have it down in the New English Translation because it really explains it vividly. I think it does. Verse 2. He says, everyone will suffer. Everyone. The priests as well as the people, the masters as well as the servant, the elegant lady as well as the female attendant, the seller as well as the buyer, the borrower as well as the lender, and the creditor as well as the debtor. The earth will be completely devastated and thoroughly ransacked, destroyed. Because God has decreed it. It's his judgment on mankind for sin, for evil, for rejection of him, for rejection of his son. Verse 4. The earth dries up and withers. The world shrivels up and withers. The prominent people of the earth are laid away. The earth is destroyed by its inhabitants. Do you realize that? The earth destroyed by its inhabitants. And why? Because they have violated laws, they have disregarded regulations, and they've broken the everlasting covenant. They broke the laws and they changed the ordinances. And it was very interesting how they've done this over the years. Very clever. Very subtle. Because mankind, you know, is influenced by Satan. So whatever they do, Satan's in there stirring things up, changing the path, making it seem okay when it's not okay, giving you a bit of truth and lots of lie. Lots of lie and a bit of truth, whatever it might be. We know that. That's how it works in society. You know, they've replaced the commandments with ethics. We have a moral code, and we kind of try and stay with that and deal with each other in the best way that we can. God is never mentioned. His laws are never mentioned. That's the code to follow. And they have the situation ethics and all these different things that pop up. They replace the commandments of God with ethics and replace the laws of God with lawlessness. And our world is full of it. Complete and absolute lawlessness. We see it around us all the time. We live in this society. We're not a part of this society or this world, but we have to live in it. I'm up to here with it, as you are. But we pray to Almighty God for strength, for the ability to comprehend, stay strong, not to give in, not to give up, not to get down, not to get depressed, not to need some Valium to make it through the day. We have the Spirit of God. That's what gets us through the day. The whole thing is going to be completely smashed and brought to the ground. Some people used to say years ago, well, surely Mr. Armstrong, can't we talk with him? And he'd say, isn't something going to be saved? This beautiful building, this situation here, maybe that? And he said, no, it all has to go. It's all of Satan. It's of the world. It's not of God. We're going to start fresh. Yeah, verse 6, therefore the curse has devoured the earth and they that dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Few left. So much is going to be destroyed, and so much needs to be destroyed. And as Mr. Armstrong said, everything has to go. Everything. We're starting over. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 25, if you will, please. Jeremiah chapter 25. And verse 32 and 33. Jeremiah 25, verse 32 and 33. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great wrath will be raised up. A great whirlwind shall be raised up on the coasts of the earth. In verse 33. Yes, verse 33. And the slain of the Lord will be on that day from one end of the earth to the other. Can you imagine? One end of the earth to the other. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. There shall be as dung upon the ground. That's hard to imagine. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That's an amazing statement to me. That's what the whole world is going to look like. And you know what? It's not a pretty sight. But we look beyond that. But we have to understand the reality of what we're going to face. What people will be dealing with. How much they're going to need the love of God flowing through us. The patience, the understanding, giving them hope, showing them, introducing them to the real God, drawing them to Him. It's going to be quite a job. Quite a job. And we've got to be up for it. And we will be up for it as we're preparing ourselves now, as Mr. Unruh said, not many years away. We don't know how many. I want to be ready, don't you? And be diligent with your life. Hang on to the truth. Charge forward, having God and Jesus Christ right there with us. We've got the Holy Spirit. We can do it. Nothing can stand in our way. No man can stand in our way. Let's notice Revelation 16, and let's see what the cities are going to look like. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the throne of heaven, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were on the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Never before has there been one like it. Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came to remembrance before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. That means they totally collapsed. Nothing left standing. That is going to be such an awesome earthquake. Can you imagine? All buildings will come down. They're going to collapse. And of course, there's going to be bodies in those buildings that have to be cleared. And I wouldn't have any doubt at all there's going to be some survivors that we're going to have to deal with. You see how real it is? So when we start working with Christ, we need to understand the conditions we're going to be facing. It's going to be a tremendous challenge for us. Tremendous challenge. But we're going to be up for it. We'll be spirit beings. We'll have the power. We'll learn how to use it. Let's notice Zechariah. You know, brethren, the world is going to be absolutely turned completely upside down. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? Hard to imagine. Zechariah chapter 14. And verse 12. Verse 12 and 13. And this shall be the plague of the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. The flesh shall come away when they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their hole and socket, and the tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That's quite a sight, isn't it? There was a movie, I forget what it was now. I'm sure Mr. Monroe would know. only because he knows these things. It was a movie, I think it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you ever saw it. And they opened up the Ark of the Covenant, so-called, and the fella said, Indiana Jones said, don't look at it. So they didn't look. Those who did look, their eyes consumed away in the flesh from their bodies. It was extremely well done, you know, by the makers of the film. But it just showed that's exactly what's going to happen. Amazing. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. It's going to be a lot of problems. People fighting each other, disillusioned, uncertain, don't know what's happening. Who's to blame for this? Let's turn on CNN and see what's happening. There won't be any CNN. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3, and he says, and I saw an angel. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon it, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, then he must be released for a season, for a period of time. Satan is finally put away. The earth is in shambles. Cities are destroyed. And now can come the reign of Christ. But not until. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, that had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's what we've been talking about. That's going to be us. That's going to be you. We're going to have thrones from which judgment will be given to us from Christ. We're going to have to learn proper judgment. And with the Spirit of God and with Christ inspiring us and working with us, we're going to do it wonderfully, righteously, perfectly, the way Christ does it right now. We're going to have to make decisions and find solutions on how to do some very important things. How about repairing the world? You know, how about that? How about restoring order? What about looking at the cities that have to be rebuilt properly this time? Brethren, we're going to have power to heal the sick. Can you imagine? We're going to have that kind of power. We can restore limbs. Come here, sir. Let's put that arm back on for you. And we'll have power to comfort, truly comfort, those that are depressed. And there'll be plenty of those. And people who are shell-shocked and war-shocked and almost destroyed in their own hearts and minds because of what's happened, because of what they've been through. We will live and reign and rule, and we'll help and we'll comfort And we're going to heal. And we're going to teach them God. We're going to draw them to God and to His truth. What could be greater to look forward to that? Is there anything? Nothing physically. I know deep in our hearts, we want to do that. We want to be there. You know, I was looking out last night at everybody sitting here. And I said in my heart, what a wonderful group of people. Here to serve God, to learn, to grow. That's how I felt. Okay, I still feel that way. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. We're going through a lot of scriptures here, brethren, but we need to understand the process and how it works and how it's going to work. It's not words from me. My words don't mean anything. It's what God's telling us and what He's saying, wanting us to understand the process and what's going to be happening. Verse 7, Isaiah 9, and of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and His kingdom, to order and to establish it with justice and judgment from henceforth ever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He sure will. We're going to see it unfold. We're going to be there. We're going to be amazed, I'm sure. Wow. Now I see it. Now I understand. Now I feel it. Now I can identify with Jesus Christ and God the Father because I'm a spirit being. It's going to be wonderful. A never-ending kingdom. Not like the civilizations of the past and the one that we're in here now. Only temporary. Nothing lasts, does it, in this world. We look at our own lives and we say nothing lasts forever. Health doesn't last forever. The wonderful things in life that we see don't last forever. Family relationships don't always last forever. Good and bad. Everything changes. I tell people what we're going through is the cycles of life. You're in a different cycle than I am, and I'm in a different cycle than you are, unless you're 95 like me. Not quite. But that's it. We have to adjust to those cycles. Not to fight it. To almost have to say, let's just embrace it and deal with it. Accept it. It's like with my eyesight. There's no cure for what I've got. Except divine intervention. Okay. What do we do? You work with it. You find a solution so that I can actually speak. With my wife's help, we were able to do it. Can't fight it. Can't run from it. Can't blame anybody. Don't. Lots of things happen to people. Look how Mr. Bowles is struggling. Do I think I'm bad? No. Not at all. I've got plenty of things going for me. Just afflictions that come along, you have to adjust and deal with it and move forward and not fight it. Micah chapter 3. No, actually, Micah chapter 4. Sorry. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. That's what I want. Micah chapter 3, 4, verses 1 to 3. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people will flow unto it. They're going to want to go to it and find out what's going on up there. And all nations shall come, it says. And they'll come and say, let's go up and let's go to the mountain of our God and let's learn. Let's understand. There's things happening up there. We've heard about it. We want to know. We want to be blessed. The house of God and the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways. That'll be you. We will walk in His paths. You're going to show them where the paths are. The law shall go forth of Zion, and the words of the Lord from Jerusalem, and you'll be there to help. They won't know how to walk. You're going to have to show them. Like I said last night, God the Father reaching down, holding our hands. We're little children. How do you think they're going to be? What will they be like? Greater needs, incredibly so. Verse 3, and he shall judge among the people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Won't that be something? The world is just bristling with armaments. Every nation trying to get one step above. Better jet fighters, bigger missiles, more of this, more of that. The world's on the knife edge of a major conflict. They think there's going to be a war in the Middle East soon. Now, God will decide that. He's in charge. I don't care what they say. If there is one, then God will be in charge. God will have allowed it. That's how we have to look at it. Oh, who's going to be elected president? What's going to happen? Listen, it doesn't matter. Whoever gets elected is because that's what God wants. He'll want him or her where they're going to be placed for his purpose, for his solutions to what's happening with people, what he wants to bring upon our nations. God decides that. He raises up kings and he tears kings down or changes the order of it. He does. I don't worry about it. I don't bother about those things. I listen to hear what's going on. I'm interested, but not caught up in it. Not polarized by a party or by a thought process. I want to be polarized by the thought process that brings me in harmony with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's the only one that's going to work. You know, brethren, we're going to teach people the right way. There won't be any more war. The whole fabric of society will have to be changed. Every aspect of it. Change from a war society, which is what it is today, to a peace society, which the world knows nothing about yet. From a lawless society to a righteous society, and one where there is goodness and where there is godliness. And then we can begin to have peace, but not before. But all of that, brethren, you know, it's going to take some time. I think sometimes people might think it's just going to happen. Boom, there it is, all done. No, it's not going to work like that. You read what we went through here. There's a process. There's desolation. There's destruction. There's restoration required of people's lives, piecing people back together psychologically, mentally, emotionally. It's going to take time. And we have to be prepared to understand that and realize it. Doesn't matter how long it takes. We're going to be helping do it. That's the key. That's the secret. That's what's so special. We're going to be able to, you know, if you want to watch it unfold, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And let's see how Christ is going to execute his office as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and how he's going to establish peace on earth. And we're going to help him do it. I know I keep emphasizing that, but we have to let that sink in. It's true. That's what we're being prepared for. That's part of our training now, becoming teachers and being prepared then to rule. It's an awesome thing that God's doing with you and with me. And we're going to help him do it. We're going to help him do it. How wonderful is that? Let's see how Christ is going to do it. Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 to 4. And there shall come out of Zion a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of the root. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Let me just say here, when you're praying, do you pray for these things? I do. I need it, that's why. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. I want to understand people. I want to understand what's going on. I want to be able to help if we can. The spirit of counsel. the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Yeah, all those things I want. All those things I need, just like you do. Verse 3, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither reprove for the hearing of his ears. Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge and judge the people, and with equity with the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the roof of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. You read that. You can fill in the couple of blanks I left. Not intentionally. So this shows us, brethren, it's going to take time. You know, it's interesting when you're in the book of Isaiah. How many things concerning the kingdom of God are in the book of Isaiah? Lots. Lots. Notice Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore we will... Oh boy, I'm sorry, brethren. And therefore we will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. The Lord God is a God of judgment. The Lord God is a God of mercy, isn't he? And compassion and love. And blessed are they that wait for him. We're waiting. And we are blessed being a part of the church. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. We will be gracious unto you. The voice of your cry, and he shall hear your cry, and he'll answer you. Verse 20, and although the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall your teachers be no more removed in the corner, but your eyes shall see your teachers. That's you. See how you're mentioned here all the time? It's very personal. We will be those teachers. And we're going to show them the way. Mr. Armstrong said the purpose for our life is to become a teacher. We'll teach them on the Sabbath. We'll teach them collectively. We'll teach them individually. We'll teach them directly. We'll meet them in their homes if that's what it takes. Doesn't matter. We're going to be there. And if someone gets out of line, if issues occur, as they're going to on occasion, we're going to be there to take care of that as well. But with love, with compassion, with patience, with understanding, with wisdom, with knowledge, all the things I just mentioned. We're not going to allow violence and robbery. It won't exist. We're going to be spirit beings, and we can walk through walls. You know, we can be visible and invisible. You ever think about that? Remember when Christ walked through the wall? You know, and the disciples were shocked. I guess they were. You're going to be able to do that. There's a ruckus going on over here. Zoom, we're inside. Huh? What's going on? Settle down, folks. We're going to resolve this issue. Here's how we do it. You have to make it very real to how you think and in your heart and mind. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Yes, the next verse. And your ears shall hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way you walk. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. You talk about crime prevention. We're going to have it. There isn't going to be any crime. Be a few people who might want to stir the pot. We'll take care of that, as I mentioned. The only way to bring peace, brethren, is to educate people. You think of the situation in Northern Ireland. Catholic against Protestant. Children in the streets cursing the other side, whatever, for their religion. Why did they do that? They're taught that by their families, maybe by the school. I don't know. We have to teach. We have to teach properly. Educate. That's why we emphasize this aspect of being a teacher so much. because we're going to be led by the Spirit of God to do it, and to do it righteously and properly. No human nature in the way. No goofy ideas of Jonathan Pippy. No. That's gone. What does God want? Amos chapter 5. Let's turn there. Amos chapter 5. Let's ask the question, brethren, how many people will be left on the earth at the beginning of the millennium? There's an interesting question. Amos chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Because you know, there are going to be dead people from one end of the earth to the other. Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Hear the word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Verse 2, the virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. Who can raise her up? Verse 3, for thus says the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went out by 100 shall leave by 10, or leave with 10. You know, back in Ezekiel, which we won't turn there, it talks about the fact that a third shall die by famine, a third by the sword, by war, and a third shall go into captivity. And just think about it. The numbers we're referring to here on a worldwide scale are staggering. Staggering. I know there's a program on Netflix, I think it was called The World War II in Color. You might have seen it. I watched it a few times because I like some of the segments are really so fascinating from a historical perspective. The thing that jumped out at me was the fact that there was this battle, and the Japanese lost 30,000 men, and the British and whatever, they lost 5 or 10 or whatever. Another battle over here. The Germans lost 100,000, and they took prisoners of 200,000. The numbers are unbelievable. That's nothing compared to what's coming. You see, let this sink in. If you ever go through these scriptures like this, you get a real picture of what it's going to be like. And we're going to see it. We're going to be involved in it, helping, changing, restoring, blessing, healing. That's the wonderful part for us, all under Christ's direction. And he wants us there to do that. And he wants us prepared. He wants us excited about it. He wants us to have a passion for this Christian life, for all we have to do to get ourselves ready. Our little aches and pains don't mean anything long term. In the short term, they hurt. Yeah, this is hurting. That hurts. I understand. I'm not minimizing it. I'm just saying when you compare it. Jeremiah chapter 30. Let's see what God is going to do. And we're going to be there to help. That's the glorious, wonderful thing we're seeing here. We see what God's going to do. Then we're going to see where we're going to be able to help. Help solve the problem. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verses 1 to 3. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, write the word that I have spoken unto you in a book. For the day is coming, said the Lord, that I will again bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 for a moment. I think this is a very exciting verse. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. He says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. What's he talking about here? The covenant being referred to is the same covenant we have. The covenant Israel and Judah the covenant that Israel and Judah had was given at Mount Sinai. The covenant that Christ brought was for the church. That's why he had to die. Now he's going to enter into a new covenant with them. Brand new covenant. This, brethren, is when salvation comes to the house of Israel and Judah. Now, isn't that exciting? It is. It's dynamic. What a transformation will take place when God has a new covenant with them. Read in verse 33 what happens as a result of that. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I'll put my law in their inner parts. I'll write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's how personal it's going to be for these people. They never understood it before. Now they will. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. No, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. See how God brings in the destruction and the things that have to be done. Then he starts to restore, then bring people along, change the covenant, teach them about his ways. We're going to be there to help. I keep saying that because it's so important. It's so vital we get that picture in our minds. We're not going through the motions here. We're going through a process of understanding what it's going to be like and what God is doing and how much he's going to need us to help solve the issues and how much he wants us to be there. What was it we said last night? It is God's great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Makes him happy. It should be our great pleasure to strive as much as we can to make ourselves ready so we're going to be there to inherit the kingdom of God. Absolutely marvelous, brethren, absolutely marvelous. All I can say in response to that verse there, how great and compassionate is the plan of the great God, understood by only just a few. Just a few. A small number of us here, small number here, over there, some in the UK, some here. A few in different groups obviously understand. We're not the only ones that know these things. But we do understand something that many do not know. And that's why some of these other groups don't want me, as I mentioned last night. Because what are we hanging on to? The spiritual heritage brought to us by Mr. Armstrong, by God the Father, through Christ to Mr. Armstrong. Well, if you believe that, you'll never fit in here. That's true. That's okay. Like I said, I don't want to fit in that way. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 4. Now says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you're mine. God's taking personal possession of the people. And you are God's. He owns you. You're his. I'm his. And glad to be. And want to be. He says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. And though the river shall not overflow you, when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle you. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Since you were precious in my sight and have been honorable, and I have loved you, therefore I will give for you the people for your life, God loves his people. How wonderful it's going to be when after the destruction is gone and his wrath has been completed, then he pours out compassion, mercy, and love. And we're going to be right there to help him do it. Help him build society back up again. Comfort people, be with them, restore them, love them. What an incredible future. When God brings Israel out, it is going to be astonishing. And a giant undertaking, frankly. Giant undertaking. Verse 7. Fear not, for I am with you. Bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. Verse 6, and I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons and daughters from afar, from the ends of the earth. Verse 7, every man that is called by my name, I have created for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. God is creating you for his glory. The glory of what he's got in store. We won't even think back upon the aches and pains, you know, the things that we have to deal with today, will we? It'll all be gone, all forgotten. Nothing but clear skies, sunshine ahead, being led by the Spirit of God, and being a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And, of course, as the millennium begins, we're going to be doing all sorts of things, bringing forth the blind and the deaf. Ears will be opened, eyes will be opened, and we will be there to help heal them, physically and spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. That's a big job. It's a big job. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 8 to 10. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses. Who else can do this but me, God says, that they may be justified? Let them hear and say, it is truth. It is truth. Verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That's a lesson that humanity is going to have to learn. No more idols. No more false gods. No more crazy statues. No more man-made goofy religions that make no sense. Verse 12. I have declared and I have saved and I have shown that there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, said the Lord, that I am God. There's a statement. The fact that he is taking the people out of captivity and bringing them back shows he is God. Who else could do it? Nobody else could do it. See, what we're looking at here is all-encompassing. The whole history, basically, of what's going to happen as God involves himself directly in the events of the world. Has to have destruction? Yes. Has to wake people up? Yes. Absolutely. And we know it must be. There's no other way they're going to learn. And then finally, after they're broken, then we can help. Then they'll listen. Then they'll be eager to learn. They'll want to go up to the mountain, to the house of the Lord, and learn. He'll teach us his paths. He'll show us his ways. Look what happened to other nations. Wonderful. We want to be like that. We want to be blessed. Isaiah chapter 43. And verse 14 and 15. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have seen Babylon, have sent Babylon, and have broken down the nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your holy God, the one who created you. I am your king. They don't understand that now, won't accept that now, but they will. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, actually 38. My wife made me say that. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 23. He says, "Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations." Yeah, that's for sure. "And they shall know that I am the Lord." That's how God is going to start working with other nations. We will see the hordes of the east and the north, Gog and Magog. They're all going to be called to a great slaughter. "And they shall know, finally, that I am the Lord their God. And there is no other." Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, verse 6 to 9. "And he said unto me, Son of man, you have seen this." Have you seen this? Question, yeah. "Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, The waters issue out from toward the east country and go down to the desert and go into the sea. When they are brought into the sea, the waters shall be healed." Verse 9. "It shall come to pass that everything that lives and moves where the rivers come shall live. There shall be a very great abundance and multitude of fish, because the waters shall be healed." They'll go forth and they'll be healed. Wherever the river goes, everything will live. Isn't that something? Especially in view of the pollution we have today. I saw on the news the other night a group that are going out into the oceans, cleaning up rivers and whatnot, and going out into the ocean trying to retrieve the debris, especially the plastic. And they said something like 6 million tons so far they've retrieved. That's a staggering number for me. That's just the beginning. So there's much healing required, not just with people, but with the world itself, with the earth. That's why it has to be destroyed, and we start over again and do it right this time. So there's going to be a great healing which will go forth upon the whole earth, physically, spiritually. It's going to be unbelievable when you stop and think about it. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1 to 3. "And he showed me a pure river of living water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the mouth out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations." Everything God does after he has to set things right is for healing. It's for building. It's for encouraging. It's for restoring. That's the righteousness of the living God and his magnificent plan. There has to be ordeals, there has to be trouble, there has to be struggles, there has to be striving, there has to be death and destruction. Yes, that's going to come. It has to come. Then they'll learn. And after you start learning, he'll bring healing. Everything flows beautifully, like the way God does it. Verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." You know, brethren, when it comes to this point in the millennium, you know, if things will be fully functioning, should be what we've been reading. There will be security. There's going to be peace. There's going to be right government through the sons and daughters of God ruling with Christ. That's you, as I said before, a dozen times. You got to let that sink in. That's what we're here for. That's why we've been dealing with life the way we have, putting up with things that we've had to put up with, if I can use that term, not in a derogatory sense. Lots of struggles, lots of striving. That's all right. At the end, it all works out. We win, as they say. Marvelous what our God has done. It'll be fully functioning. There'll be security, peace, right government, and the sons and daughters ruling with Christ. Wow. Because the word of God will be taught. Isaiah chapter 41. And verse 17 to 20. Isaiah chapter 41. And verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there was none, and the tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, I will heal them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers in the high places and the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water, and out of the dry land springs of water. Verse 19, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar trees, the myrtle tree, the oil tree. I'll set in the desert the box tree, the pine tree. All the wonderful things that God is going to do, reproducing, replanting the earth, restoring. Verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has done it, has created it, has made it happen. Only He can do it, and He does it. We're going to see that happen. You talk about repairing the earth. It mentions in Isaiah chapter 11, which we won't turn there. It talks about the animals. We've read it many, many times, and we know how that works as well. Everything is going to be changed. There will never again be a society like today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bring it on. Right? Christ is going to rule, and we're going to help Him do it. People will, finally, they will fulfill the purpose for their lives. They will know God, and God will know them, and He'll love them and care for them. There won't be any more police departments. No more security departments keeping you out of here, as has happened to a couple. No more lawyers. And I'm sorry, Mr. Monroe, no more giant hospitals. He's going to be out of a job. I'm glad to be, right, Auntie? People will work. They will want to work. They'll want to grow. They're going to want to be involved in building the earth that was destroyed because of sin. And they were a part of that. They're going to want to see that changed and rebuilt and restored. How excited they're going to be when they learn and understand the truth of God. You know, there are many scriptures we could look at. I could go through many more. We don't have the time. I didn't have the time to put any more together. But I think you get the point and understand what we're saying here. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And verses 1 to 3. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to claim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort them that mourn. And we'll be doing that. I mentioned it a few times. Comforting people. Being with them. Helping them. Loving them. Having a shoulder that they can lean on. And one that they can trust. Verse 3 says, to appoint unto them the mount. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. There it is. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, the garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's going to be a lot of captives we have to let out of prison. Captives in so many different ways, we're going to have to be there to help them. We're going to build proper cities. There's going to be production. Things will be done right. Verse 17, he says, "For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood I'll bring brass, and for stone iron. I will also bring your officers peace, and your overseers righteousness." In the millennium, it's going to be a completely different situation. Talk about economic prosperity. The economy will be based upon substance. It's going to be based upon real wealth. No more credit cards. No more quantitative easing. Can you define that for me, please, before we leave? Printing money. It's going to be based upon real wealth. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7, he says, "For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them." Everlasting joy. That's more astounding good news, isn't it? Brethren, can you imagine what it's going to be like to have the majority of people converted? Can you imagine? Even though, let's say it was just in your community right now, you go back home and most of the people in the town are totally converted. They're driving along and they wave at you and they love you. They don't give you signs. Wouldn't that be something? It's going to happen. God says, "I'll make an everlasting covenant with them." It's going to be a great and marvelous time for us as teachers and rulers, learning to become the right kind of ruler, the right kind of king, the right kind of priest, the right kind of teacher. God's going to work with us. He's going to polish us up. And we've got to do our part now, getting as much of the rough places off us that we can, off our hearts and minds. I look forward to that time, being able to help to bring salvation to the world. That's, brethren, why, as I said last night, this piece of tabernacles is so awfully, awfully powerful and awesome and important. That's why we're here, isn't it? So let's focus. Let's focus on the goal of being priests. Focus on the focus of being rulers with Jesus Christ. Focus on the need to become the right kind of teachers. Focusing on the need to get our lives right where they're not. Seeking help from God and He'll give it to you. He'll take your hand and He'll lead you. He'll give you what you need. He'll pour out His Spirit on you. He'll hold nothing back if we're receptacle to what He wants us to learn. Receptacles. Say that, please, 10 times. No. Focus on that. No, brethren, because we're going to have spiritual glory and power. He's going to give that to us. What an awesome God. So, brethren, all I can say in conclusion is have a wonderful, enjoyable, and meaningful feast during the week to come, preparing yourself to become a ruler in the family of God.